luminaries, talking to the brightest minds in tech.
And my hope is that we come together to share more than technology and expertise and products, but that we share a vision of a future that is better than today. A vision of technology as the driver of human progress.
Your hosts are Mark Schaefer and Douglas Carr.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Luminaries, where we talk to the brightest minds in tech. And you heard that little soundbite we had there earlier, and that gives you a clue of who we're going to be talking to today. This is Mark Schaefer with my co-host, Doug Carr, a.k.a. Dougie Baby. How you doing, Doug?
That was not me driving into the parking lot. I can tell you that right now.
Well, you know, we promise you that we're talking to the brightest minds in tech, and we are going to deliver today. What a very special guest we have today, Zach Brown. He is the CEO of McLaren Industries. And first of all, Zach, congratulations on your new position.
Thank you very much. Very excited. I've been a McLaren fan my whole life, so pinching myself getting the opportunity to lead this great team.
Oh, what a dream job. And we're going to hear all about it today. And, you know, I've been kind of an admirer from afar. But as I prepared for this interview, I was surprised to see all of the different things McLaren is into. It's really quite an interesting, almost diverse holding company. So tell us a little bit more about McLaren as a company.
So we have recently reorganized into a single entity called McLaren Group. And within that, we have three different divisions. McLaren Automotive, which we're now making more than 4,000 great supercars a year. We have a Formula One racing team and eSports and some other racing activities under McLaren Racing, which I'm chief executive of, so that's my primary responsibility. And then a great technology business called McLaren Applied Technologies. Collectively, we have about 4,000 employees, and technology is at the center of everything that we do.
Are you pretty well spread around the world, or where's kind of the center of the company based?
Well, you know, it depends on the three different companies. As far as the group itself, it's primarily Europe and England. But as far as where we do business, we're doing 21 races around the world. We're selling cars all around the world, North America and Europe being the two biggest markets. Mm-hmm. And then our Applied Technologies business is also a global company. So as far as where we reach out to, we're global. The heavy concentration of our 4,000 employees would be UK-based, primarily driven by the automotive and racing, which at the MTC, which is our McLaren Technology Center, our headquarters, will be close to about 3,000 employees there.
Well, it's just a great company with an amazing history. We're so glad to have you on the show today.
What do you think is the core competency of McLaren? You know, I mean, is it an IT company, a marketing company, a racing company, you know, all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. I think the strand that goes across all three is technology, because that's at the heart of our Formula One team. Formula One is the most technically advanced sport in the world. McLaren Applied Technologies, that's a bit of a giveaway of how important technology is there. And then our automotive business is a lifestyle supercar business, but with technology at the heart of that product. So I think three different types of companies, but technology bleeds through all of them.
One of the interesting similarities I see that I'd like to hear you talk about is this idea of speed, and not just speed of your cars, but speed of innovation, speed of transformation. I work with a lot of different types of companies as a consultant, big companies and small companies, and you just hear about, you know, this culture of speed. So as the leader of this company, How are you going to embed this culture of speed in everything you do, not just your race cars, but in the advancement of your technology and in your and ultimately your transformation?
Well, the good news is the company's had that culture for a long time, ever since Bruce McLaren, our founder, who's no longer with us, started the company. So I think my role now is to make sure we stay ahead of the curve, continue to retain and bring on great talent. So while it's technology, it's people. You know, Dell was talking about people and machines, and I think we're the ultimate of our people are creating these great technologies and these great machines. So I think lots of education, lots of diversity in the workforce from different industries, and challenge people to kind of think out of the box, as that corny saying goes.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about your career path, how you got to where you are, and some of your core philosophies as a leader.
Well, I used to race professionally, and I think there's a lot of similarities in business as racing. You know, when you're racing a car, teamwork is absolutely critical. It can be life or death, or winning and losing. Life and death's probably a bit more extreme.
No, it could be
life
and
death. That's reality. You got to have the best equipment possible. You got to have the best technology. Got to work real hard. You're constantly critiquing what you could be doing better. So as a race car driver, when you are done with a race, you spend a lot of time analyzing to an inch, you know, how was braking? Did you hit the apex? Did you maximize the exit? And you're unbelievably critical of yourself, because if you missed it by an inch, you missed it. And so I think you bring that kind of culture and mindset to a business, and everyone knows that you kind of never really perfect it. You know, you hear race car drivers all the time say, you know, it was almost a perfect lap, but it's almost impossible to get a perfect lap. And so if you take that type of, you know, I got to improve, I can always do better type of mantra to, to how you work in the workforce, then you're always pushing forward.
Yeah, and you've been around the business for a long, long time. I'm imagining you're seeing quite an evolution into really it's becoming a data analysis business.
Oh, yeah.
Racing business.
Yeah, you know, we have over 300 PhDs, over 1,500 engineers. So we've got a lot of smart people, way smarter than me, at McLaren. And now simulation is critical. And technology, I think, used to seem expensive. Now, if you embrace technology and you know how to use it, actually saves you a lot of money. And the pace of development, we have over 200 sensors on our race car that develop over 13,000 parameters around analyzing what's going on with the race car. So the faster you can process that information, understand that information, and react to that information, ultimately the faster you'll go. And so the technology development used to really be more around materials. And, you know, we were the first team to develop a carbon fiber chassis. We were the first automotive manufacturer. Every one of our cars is a carbon fiber tub. So it started with materials, and now that's migrated towards simulation and really data, predictive analytics. And it's amazing how quickly a race car that sat on pole, qualified first at the first race of the year, if it didn't develop, would be last by the end of the year. And that's the pace of development.
That's amazing.
It's, we do a new new part on the race car every 14 minutes.
That is an incredible amount of speed of development. And it also occurs to me that race car drivers have to be able to understand this stuff too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who don't follow the sport closely, you know, you hear kind of sit down on the job, the physical fitness. You know, you're constantly on. There are no timeouts other than a 2.5 second pit stop. So for an hour and a half, you're driving around on the absolute limit. So the mental concentration, which drains you physically, mm-hmm. is unbelievably intense. The driver's heart rate is anywhere between 140, 180 beats per minute. So it's a bit like a boxer or a marathon runner as far as the physical fitness and intensity, with the pulling upwards of 5G loads on, you know, under braking and cornering. And then that's just the physical side of the sport. Then the drivers need to effectively be engineers, because you can take the same race car, and if it's not set up correctly, it could be as much as 2 seconds slower, which is the difference between first and last. So a driver has to be extremely intelligent in understanding what's going on with the race car and how to help fix the race car.
Mm. Oh, my my heart's pounding just talking about this. I'm going to shift gears, huh? Did you see that, Mark?
Yeah, cute. Yeah. This is a podcast, Doug. No one can see what you're doing.
McLaren is also innovating in the world of EVs, so electric vehicles. I'm curious what the difference is from culturally making that shift, you know, from a traditional motorsport company, you know, running on engines to electric.
Well, we're not fully electric. I guess I would say yet. We haven't set a timetable as to when we will be. I think we still need to see where the world develops. Some people are betting the farm on certain technologies, and I think it might be a little smarter to creep up on it and see where things lead.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are very used to, as a company, being on the leading edge and working on tomorrow's technology. So whether that's materials or hybrid or fuels, that we're very comfortable with. And so we enjoy it. You know, we like to look forward and anticipate. And the engineers and the PhDs, they like to look into the crystal ball and try and figure out what the future is and help help shape it. So that's something that our culture embraces.
Well, kind of building on that, another one of the big topics in the automotive industry these days is, of course, autonomous vehicles. And you represent sort of the ultimate human-machine interface, the ultimate human-machine interface. And so tell me about – I just thought it would be interesting, kind of almost a philosophical discussion with you, since this is your life and you've been a driver and you felt that adrenaline and, you know, you felt, you know, part of the machine. Talk about this visceral reaction, this visceral need to kind of be part of the machine when you're racing, and how you see that either standing in front of or maybe enabling the autonomous vehicle trend.
Yeah, so I think autonomous vehicles are obviously on their way. I think, and this is, of course, just personal opinion, and everyone has one. You know, I think autonomous will be more about transportation, getting from point A to point B. I think it will definitely play a great role there. You know, I'm a vintage car collector, so I'm still driving cars with carburetors and, you know, gear shifts that are no longer relevant even, you know, today. And that's because I enjoy the sound, the feel, the driving. And I don't think that'll ever go away. So I think autonomous will probably take market share away from, you know, today's vehicle. Mm-hmm. I think the infrastructure required to have an all autonomous world, none of us will probably be around by the time that becomes reality. I remember the cartoon The Jetsons and everything there that seemed quite fantasy, but now pretty much three quarters of what happened then is here today. So I think it probably will go that direction, but for people that like to drive, I don't think you can ever replace having a steering wheel in your hand.
Can't imagine that's going to be a priority for you.
No, people that buy our cars,
they don't want a DIY car.
No, they want to drive a awesome performing and sounding supercar. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously Formula One and the drivers are a big part of the sport. And so if you had autonomous cars racing, you wouldn't have any drivers to cheer for. So I think they'll have their place, but I personally think it will be more transportation, you know, buses, shipping, delivery, that type of, of thing. Because not everyone wants to drive a supercar, but I do.
Well, let's talk about that. So not everybody can drive a supercar, but McLaren is getting into simulated racing a lot as well, which does provide the opportunity. Can you talk about that crossover? Obviously, I'm guessing that's part of your motorsport as well, is that simulation is part of it. 100%. But now you're extending that with Alienware into the consumer market, too.
So we were the first Formula One team to move on an esports platform last year called World's Fastest Gamer, and it was across all different platforms to ultimately find the best esports driver out there, who's now one of our gentlemen's named Rudy, who's one of our full-time simulator drivers. And I think what's happened is simulation in esports is so real now that we find that that can help us build our race car. So it's an important part of our overall motor racing. And I think it's great because motor racing is an expensive sport to get into. So unlike baseball, soccer, football, basketball, which, you know, are kind of
You need a ball.
And you can even make up the goal with a couple posts.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I had a pretend ball.
Yeah,
exactly. It was good enough. I was a weird kid, but that's a story for another day, folks.
And so motor racing is quite, quite expensive. So I think what's also great about esports is not only is it very relevant, but it's going to be a less expensive way to really almost become the grassroots form of motorsports. And I also think in some markets like Asia, esports is huge and is probably bigger than motor racing itself. And so that's a great way to bring on the younger audience, expose people to driving earlier, and then the simulation. You know, we have someone in our simulator, which is a pretty awesome version of esports, who helps us develop the car over the weekend. So if we are on track Saturday in Spain, while we're on track, if we want to try something, but we don't want to try it on the race car yet, we will have the driver in the simulator real time, same track, same setup, saying, go try this. Try it for two or three laps. If it works, we report it back to the racetrack. We try it. And so so it's very important for the success of our race team, but then also thinks it's going to broaden to a wider, younger audience, which we're all trying to get these days.
Yeah, sure. That's really a fascinating insight, Zach, that you're using this gaming technology really to develop a real-life race car experience and success. This has got to be a really big part of your job to look at what other technologies are out there that can give us an edge.
Yeah.
You know, and something like esports, that's not necessarily intuitive. I mean, gaming, so that was like a really interesting insight for me. So what else are you looking at? How do you look at that? What's your process to like scan the world of technology and say, yep, we need to invest in this?
Well, you know, ultimately, and we come to events like Dell Technology World and CES and the Mobile World Congress and, you know, ultimately immerse ourselves with the technology leaders. That's why it's so important for us, you know, when we have commercial partners with our racing team. There are some that help contribute to the race team financially. And we help promote their brand. And then there's others like Dell Technologies that, you know, not only do that, but, you know, more importantly or as importantly, help us develop our business. And so what we do is, you know, we're affiliated with some of the world's best technology companies. So I think that's, you know, really important. And then having the right people and making the right levels of investment and always trying to look to tomorrow, because what is good today might be slow tomorrow.
We've covered a lot of ground, you know, in this conversation. I am curious, when you look at the next, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years in racing, what technology is being implemented today that's just going to take it to the next level?
Simulation continues to be, and rapid prototyping, you know, the quicker we can develop something on the car and understand that it correlates to the racetrack, and then the quicker we can produce it, So it's all about kind of speed to market, and having good data and crunching that data as quickly as possible, understanding that data. So I think it's about speed. Ultimately, and analytics, and then you know, the specific technologies that go around that with Dell, where everything from our laptops to our screens to our servers, and then ultimately security, because we're transmitting a lot of what's going on at the racetrack real time back to the factory in Woking, and so security, like all of our various businesses, is super important to us.
I wanted to hear a little bit more about your Applied Technologies division. I mean, obviously, there's got to be some connection to the Formula One program, but are you looking at ways to apply that to broader commercial needs?
Oh, yeah,
needs?
Yeah. So that business
maybe you
has
give
about,
us some examples.
Yeah,
of what
you're so we've got there, you know, it's really a connected business. So sensors, predictive analytics, we're doing things, you know, Wi-Fi on trains. Working on some autonomous projects, believe it or not, not through our automotive division. Yeah. So, and then the other is hybrid and electrification. And we've had stuff on the Mars lander. So we you know, areas you wouldn't expect us to be in. A lot of the stuff we do is pretty confidential. We've done some government work. So we've got within that business motorsports, automotive, transportation, and healthcare. So those are the fields that we tend to focus on, and then we do that through connectivity and then through battery hybrid technologies. So it's a pretty fascinating business.
Yeah, and I can – one of the things that's just been such a joy talking to you is that you're obviously just so passionate about this. And as I was preparing for the interview, I read a little bit about your background, and this racing has just been part of your life really from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your background, your racing, and how you got to where you are today.
So I started to race at an early age. My family was not in the racing business, originally from Los Angeles, but my dad used to take my brother and I to the races, just kind of as a father son thing. Kind of, he'd see it in the newspaper. Let's go to the race at the weekend, and then like a lot of boys that age, fell in love with cars. And then, strange twist, I went on Wheel of Fortune, Teen Week. And,
come on,
yeah, won a bunch of watches, and I went and then sold those watches at a pawn shop, which I think you have to be 18, but they bought them anyways. And then I went and bought a go kart. And so that's how I got started in racing, and won the U.S. Karting Championship, and then didn't go to college, barely kind of did high school because I just wanted to go racing, and there wasn't a class for racing in high school. So I had success there, then started doing my own sponsorship, moved to England in 91, got a deal with Porsche to come back and race in the States. My sponsor at the time, TWA Airlines, said, hey, we're sorry we're losing you. You must know the guys and gals in pit lane. Can't you place your sponsorship with someone? I went, yeah, I could do that. And that kind of stumbled into a business, which I then had for 20 years, became the world's largest motorsports agency, sold that in 2013 to a company called Chime Communications, and then had a good opportunity to go to either Formula One itself or McLaren, and ultimately chose McLaren because it's been my favorite racing team ever since I've started following motor racing. And so I kind of lucked into that, and here I am today with what I think for me is the coolest job in the world, maybe next to Fernando Alonso, because he actually gets to drive it.
And it all started with Wheel of Fortune. How
it all
about
started
that?
With
you know,
Wheel
it's just
Pat Sajak.
You know, I'm kind of just trembling right now, knowing that I'm 1 degree of separation from Pat Sajak. It's really amazing. I didn't expect that to happen.
And Vanna White.
I can't even handle that. So Zach, thank you so much for your time today. This has been such a pleasure, so very interesting. And I'm sure people listening today will want to know more about you. And we've just really, you know, touched the surface of your amazing company. So we'll put links in the show notes to your company and everything that you're doing. So we just want to thank you so much. And on behalf of Doug Carr, this is Mark Schaefer thanking all of you for joining us on Luminaires. We appreciate every single one of you. And we just love that you listen to us and spend your time with us. And until next time, this is Mark Schaefer, Doug Carr for Luminaries.
Luminaries, talking to the brightest minds in tech, a podcast series from Dell Technologies.